and make disciples of all nations. They read that and they said, yeah, that's right. We have to go and make disciples of all nations. So then where are the nations where the gospel has not been reached? So they looked around, and at that time to Turkey, there had never been an Asian missionary that had gone to Turkey. So the first university student in that group went to Turkey. The rest of the students, they were praying for that guy that had gone, and then together they prayed, and then he came back, and then he gathered more students and said, hey, the harvest is so plentiful, but the workers are few. Come, join us. More university students were gathered. More and more, and then the next one went to Uzbekistan, and then the rest is history. Right now, all over the globe, we've got people who have taken our mission training program called Vision School, which is a mission training program not just for specific few people, but for every Christian who wants to know the heart of God, who wants to know the dream of God for all nations. And after those 8 weeks, you can go out on short-term mission team, just like Isaac did, for 2 weeks into these nations, into the 1040 window. And the harvest is so plentiful. I just want to share quickly my trip that I had gone to. So I took Vision School, and they shared this nation called Yemen. Have you heard about Yemen? Yeah, Yemen is a very big nation with a big population, almost 30 million people. And they told us that in this nation, it's a very young population. More than half of the population are teenagers or younger. So it's a very, very young population. However, they are the poorest country in the Arab region. So many of the children, the teenagers, they are going hungry. Actually, some of them are starving. You might have heard about it in the news. And also, they've been in civil war. And we've been in, like, so maybe if any of you know of people that at Anzac and that went out on war, you might know. But most of us, like, war is so unfamiliar to us. We don't even know what it means. But at the moment right now, they are in war, just like Ukraine. They are in war. They are so torn. So I heard these children, these teenagers, they are so hungry. They have no dreams. They have no hope. And then they've got this plant called gut. It's a plant that they've got abundantly all around the land in Yemen. And they are chewing on this plant, which is like a drug. It makes you feel good for a little bit. Because they're hungry, they just chew on it. And then because it makes them feel good, it's some sort of a little relief that they get. It's like a little refuge for them. So boys and girls, young and old, are chewing on this gut each night, every morning, wake up in the morning, no hope, no dream, just chewing on this gut. And when I heard this, the Father's heart for this nation, for these souls, for these kids and teenagers, for these young ones, just came upon my heart, and my heart just broke. And that is the heart, not of myself, but of the Father God. So for this nation, I started praying, and then we already had a Yemen network of praying people who were praying for this nation. But actually, normal people are not permitted to enter this country because they are in war. So we were only praying. About 13 years ago, from our organization, we had student missionaries and long-term missionaries serving Yemen. But because of war, they had to all get out of the country. So for about 11 years, we were praying, but there was nothing there, no missionaries there. And so one day we were praying, and then we saw this article on the internet, and it said, oh, in Djibouti, there's this Yemeni refugee camp. And we were like, oh, Djibouti. Like, have you even heard of Djibouti? Not many people have heard of this country. It's actually a country in Africa. It's on the eastern side, northeastern side of Africa. It's called Djibouti. So it's actually right across from Yemen. So these Yemen people, to get away, to flee from the war and the horrible, horrific situation that they're in, they cross the Red Sea into Djibouti, Africa, hoping for something better, hoping that there would be something more. But what do they face in Djibouti? It's a UN refugee camp, but they're actually based in somewhere nowhere, just a complete desert. They've got tents. I think I've got photos. Yeah. Just a complete desert in the wilderness, like out of nowhere. And so this is where they were. So we heard that. And because we love Yemen so much, we just had to go. We didn't know what was going to be in front of us, but we had to go. So for me, I love winter. I love skiing. I like the cold, but heat, I just can't stand. Like, just even a little bit of heat, I get, like, sweating hot, like, shower dripping. You know, when you're worship leading in summer, you get so hot, sweaty. Like, I just cannot stand the heat. But when I heard that, oh, the people that I love, the people that I've been praying for and I wanted to meet for so long, when you go to Djibouti, you can meet these Yemen people. I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta go see them. You know, it's like when you're a parent and your kid is somewhere, you just go see them. It doesn't matter like where they are or how much it takes or whatever. You just go and see them, right? So I went. We went. And initially, we didn't have any contact with the UN refugee camp. So we were just praying. Lord, open the door for us so that we can go in. And every time, God opened the way. And so our team has been going every summer and winter, into these Yemeni refugee camps. And you know what? These people, because they're so broken in heart by war, by the hopelessness, even in Djibouti, as they were trying to find something new, but, you know, getting nowhere, just in this middle of wilderness, their hearts are broken. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is theirs. And they have come to accept Jesus Christ. These brothers, they've come to accept in Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ. I don't have the photo, but we actually, our team baptized the brothers in the Red Sea. And they were so happy. They call themselves the Nazareth Church because they wanted to be like Jesus, who is from Nazareth. We want to be like Jesus, not only the brothers, but sisters there as well. They've come to Christ. It's so amazing. You know how Jesus said, when one lost sheep comes back to God, there's a great party and everyone rejoices in heaven. That is what's happening right now in the 1040 window. Not only in Yemen, but in Turkey, in Afghanistan, in Iran, all these different places, especially where there's great persecution of Christianity. Even more Christians are rising up. Underground churches are rising up. And it's so amazing. However, the workers are few. And what I want to tell you today is that you can all go. You don't need a great biblical theological knowledge. All you need is to know that Jesus loves you, and just like that, Jesus loves them. And that's why Jesus is not here yet. Because what does it say, Matthew 24:14, when the disciples asked Jesus, when will the end come? When will the end be? And he says many things like wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and so forth, earthquakes, right? And he says, Matthew 24:14, and this, should we read this together? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. When will the end come? when this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. All nations. That's the key. So that is why Jesus is not here yet. Because not all nations have heard the gospel. The gospel has not been proclaimed in all these nations. And this is what Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. It is also the heart of the Father God. When God the Father called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, should we see that? Genesis chapter 12. What did he say? He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What do you see again? All peoples, all nations. That is the heart of God. That is the heart of the Father God, that all nations would come to him. And it was the same to Abraham's sons, Isaac and Jacob, the same thing. All nations through you. And today, who are we? We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. To us, this has also been given. And because just in case we might not understand or we might miss it, Jesus clearly said, go and make disciples of all nations. And what about, so we were looking at the Father God, the Son God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. What did he say? What happened? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But let's read this together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Again, why did the Holy Spirit come? So that we can receive power. Why do we need power? To be witnesses. To be his witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, where we are, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Amen. So, in 1989, the missiologists and leaderships all around the world, global church, came together, and they had a conference, Lausanne Conference. At this conference, they said, okay, it's 1989, so it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus went up to heaven, and before he gave us the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, let's actually see how many nations have received the gospel. Let's actually see. So these missiologists and Dr. Ralph Winter, they researched and they studied, and they researched that there are about 24,000 people groups. And according to different mission organizations, there are different numbers. And it depends because, for example, is there a map of Africa? No, okay. So, like, for example, in Africa, there are only a few countries. But within those countries, there are many different tribes. And they speak many different languages. So when you say people group, you're thinking of a people group that share the culture and share the language. So we call these people groups. And according to how you define these people groups, there are different numbers based on different organizations. But what we can see is the percentage and the great trend and the history and the speed of how the gospel has been spread across the world. So in 1989, they said, okay, it's been almost 2,000 years. Let's see how many nations have received the gospel. Let's see how much we have acted according to Jesus' Great Commission. And then in 1989, the first one, how many groups there were there? There were 24,000 groups. And of them, 11,000 people groups were still unreached. 11,000 out of 24,000. So that's almost half, isn't it? And so they were shocked. The leaderships were shocked. What happened? It's been 2,000 years. It's been almost 2,000 years. What happened? What have we been doing? Why is it that almost half of the globe have still not heard of the gospel? What have we been doing? So from that time on, they decided, you know what? We got to find out where are the nations, where are the people groups that have not heard the gospel? And as I said before, as I introduced to you, that was the 1040 window, that area. So then they said, okay, now let's really focus our efforts, focus sending our missionaries, sending our funds, sending our support to those areas, the darkest area where the gospel has not yet been reached. So next, 2001, 8,000 unreached people groups. Next, 2004, 6,000 unreached people groups. Next, 3,300. And then in 2010, 1,500. And 2018, 500 unreached people groups. So up to 1989, only half were reached. But when the global leadership got together and said, now let's focus all of our efforts together, the global church come together, and let's target that area, the final frontiers, what happened from 1989 to 2018? So that's about what? 20, 30 years time. In just that short time. So can we see the clock? Yeah. Look at the speed. So the numbers, according to different mission organizations, might be different, but look at the speed of how speedily, how mightily, how fast and quickly God is spreading the gospel through his church, through the harvesters. So that is the amazing work of God. And if we see before, up to 1989, why was it that only half of the world were reached and there were so many unreached people groups? It was because of this great imbalance. So if you can, great imbalance. So you see on the left is the 1040 window, right? So those are the places and the people where the gospel was needed the most. But the map on the right shows where the missionaries went to, where the church was sending the missionaries. So the areas that already had churches, areas that already had Christians. Yes, of course, we have been building churches there, and we've been building communities there. So of course, yes, we need to continue to support them, continue to support those areas. And those areas, because the missionaries before us were already there, it was easier to build on as well. Of course, all these areas are difficult, but still, there was more of a ground for us. So that's why the churches had kept on going to the same places and ministering to the same places. That's why. But then from 1989, we said, let's do the 1040 window. So if we go back to how many we have left in 2018, you know what we can do? There are so many churches already. If Beckenham Baptist Church adopts one nation, one lost nation, and you guys start praying, for example, the nation that I love, Yemen, you guys start praying for Yemen. You guys get together and pray for Yemen. And as you pray, God's breaking heart for this nation is poured upon you. And you're not just happy with praying for them. You actually want to go see them. So then you organize a short-term mission team, young people, old people together. And then you send them out. And then they go there to the darkest place where there is no worship. You worship God. You praise his mighty name. And you go and preach the gospel to these souls. And then you come back. You share the great news. Oh, these people came to Jesus. You know, they were dreaming about Jesus in their dream, but they didn't know who that Jesus was. But when we told them, it is Jesus, he loves you, he is the Son of God, it clicked. They said, oh, I know that man. I saw him in my dream. It connects, it clicks. And it's not because in the eloquency or in persuasiveness of our words, but it is the power of the gospel that saves through our broken language, through all of these methods that we use, like even Google Translate. God works in amazing ways, and people come to Jesus Christ. And when your short-term mission team comes back and shares that, More of the church will get excited. More of the people will come into the prayer meeting. You'll be praying. And what happens? Maybe one day, this young family, they might say, oh, we believe that God has called our family to go and live there as a long-term missionary and serve this nation of Yemen. Imagine what a great impact that would be. From your own church, as you were praying together, you are also commissioning missionaries. And as you support, it will be so different. You know, lots of churches support missionaries, but when we support missionaries, it's like, okay, we throw in some dollar, but to be very honest, some of us don't have a heart because we don't really know them. You know, it seems so distant and far away. But when we actually do that, and when we send our people, our family out there, how connected would we be? And all together as a church, we will be doing missions. And because there's one of our family there in Yemen, the young people, the older people, they can still go. They can keep going and preach and share the gospel. So this is, for our short-term mission team, you would think, oh my gosh, how would it work? How would it ever work? We follow the guidelines, the instructions of Jesus Christ. When he was sending 70 people, do you remember that? When he was sending 70 people, he said, don't carry a knapsack, don't carry any bags, just money, just go. If you find people of peace, go in there, eat. And that's what happens. If you show some of the photos that of me in Djibouti, when we go down the streets, people are just so hospitable. They just ask you to come in. So like this photo here, they just love to invite you. You know how like Abraham, he invited the three angels to come, and then like, you have to stay. We're going to cook you food, like a great meal, and you got to drink with us and have tea with us. That is exactly their culture. So when you just walk around, they just invite you over. Not only that, they're like, sleep. Do you have a place to sleep tonight? Sleep with us. Sleep in our room. This is how they are. It's incredible. So it's so easy to share the gospel, so easy to share the good news. And because you've been praying for them already before you went, you already have such a great heart for them that, and then they would say, oh, my grandmother is sick, or my wife, my mom is sick. And then we start praying for them, and then we just, Holy Spirit puts tears in our hearts, and we start crying, and they start crying, the whole family starts crying, and we're like praising God together and worshiping Jesus. It happens so much. It happens so frequently. It is not hard. It is not hard. And you know what? Especially the elderly people, if you guys go, in their culture also, there's this authority. Respecting the elders. So when elders say something, you have to listen. The young people have to listen. So we had this 80-year-old grandmother from America going to Egypt. And then whatever she says, people are like, yes, yes, yes. When she shares the gospel, people are like, oh, yes, 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 listening. They listen to you. They listen to you. They listen to your wisdom. They listen to every word, every prayer that comes out of your mouth. So God uses everyone from young to old. And we have kids team as well. Kids team also go. And they connect with kids. They play with kids. And as the kids play together, they kick ball together. They have so much fun. They share the gospel. So, do you want Jesus to come? Do you want Jesus to come? Do you want Jesus to come today? Yes, amen. Come quickly. That is the confession of the early church, wasn't it? As they saw Jesus go back to heaven, they said, Jesus, come quickly. These people, these nations, they need Jesus. We already have Jesus. They need Jesus. They will be born a Muslim and die a Muslim. Why is that? Some people get to hear the gospel so many times at church. We don't feel anything a lot of times. But these people, all their life, if we Christians do not go to them, never get to hear the gospel. Let us sing together. Let us sing Maranatha. As we take this gospel to all nations, the end will come. These nations, these young ones, these kids, they will no longer be in tears because Jesus will wipe away every tear. There'll be no suffering, there'll be no sickness. Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to come quickly. Lord, and so, Lord, your people, your church, must take this good news to the ends of the earth, to all nations, so that all nations will hear you and all nations will bow down and worship you.
Maranatha, Jesus, I'm not afraid.
love you because you loved us first, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, Lord. How can we have this amazing love, this amazing grace to ourselves when these people are dying, when these nations are dying because the church has not gone to them, because your people have not gone to them, although you have called us to go and make disciples of all nations. Father God, Lord, it is us. It is us. It is us that must go. It is us. Lord, we are here. Every church, all global church, Lord, let your vision for all nations, let your breaking heart for all nations be poured upon us, Lord, so that, Lord, we will not be satisfied with the love and grace that you have showered upon us, but that we will go and take this precious gospel, take this good news of Jesus Christ to the darkest places, to the darkest corners, so that you will come, so that when all nations will hear the gospel, surely you will come back and Maranatha. Amen, Jesus. Lord, we look forward to that day. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the team, for the challenge you've left with us to consider the adoption of a people group. Something for us to really consider as a church. I'd like to pray and close today with the doxology. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And Lord Jesus, we pray that these would be the words that could be sung by the people of Yemen. As we heard last night, the people of Egypt, the people of Tunisia, and the countries that all the nations that Intercept are connecting with. Father, we're stunned to think that from 11,000 to 500 is the result of a focused understanding of the fulfilling of the Great Commission, and the end will come. We thank you for the young man who shared about what it was to be in Korea, wars, corruption, etc., etc., and people there crying out, as we do, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And so, Father, we pray for our part, what it is you would put on our hearts individually and our hearts collectively. And Father, we pray that as we finish the service or the official part of the service, but we carry on in fellowship together, that you would put the questions on our hearts with the team that are here, amongst each other, older to younger, across cultures. What is it that God has been saying to us this morning, and what will our response be? Father, one of our values is to hear and obey, and it's the first one of them. And so, Father, we pray that we would not just hear this morning, but obey. We want to honour this morning, Lord, our mission team. We thank you for the way that you have called them to be present and to be aware of missionary needs and around the world. And we pray, Lord, that as we consider what it is that you have called us to do, we thank you for this wonderful intervention. Father, we pray as the team go, some today, some tomorrow morning, go with them safely as they go back, many of them, to their normal lives and to what they're doing in Auckland. We just pray, Lord, for the preparation of all that you are doing. Lord, we're humbled to have met with this group. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.